Hello, everybody. This is Tony McGinnigan. Welcome to the Blessings of Christ for November 24th, 2019. It's wonderful to be here with you. We're having a few little challenges, so thank you for your patience. And I know Glenda's nearby and should be on the call very soon. So if you would like to make a comment, I see a couple people are getting in the queue already. Thank you so much. We're going to have you share any thoughts, comments, observations, requests for blessings. We're going to do that in just a sec. Glenda should be dialing in. I'll get her on as quickly as I can as soon as I see her on here. I don't know if you've had a chance to observe the alignment that's going on. I'll mention it really quickly. There's a beautiful alignment visible about 45 minutes to an hour after sunset. Venus and Jupiter are exactly together right now. So tonight you'll see Venus and Jupiter, and they're actually aligned with the heart of the galaxy. It's really striking and beautiful and amazing. So one of my prayers is that everyone get a chance to see this, appreciate the energy, the beauty of it. And my heart and prayers go out to everyone who's dealing with great challenges right now. You know, there's been news stories about difficulties and protests going on all over the world. This alignment resonates with that. And there's other things going on that are occurring that indicate that there are pressures for resolving problems and revealing the truth and finding a deeper connection to life and abundance, joy, and justice as well. So all of these things are connected and resonating with what's going on right now. So my prayer, my blessing is for, you know, that we all might find the peace and the path necessary for what is in front of us, and also appreciate the miracle of what is visible and unfolding for us right now. And so thank you all for being here, still watching for Glenda. Let's see. I maybe while we're waiting here, we'll take a couple of these blessing calls. I see Stephen's first up in the queue here.
Oh, Tony, thanks. Yes, I'm just, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. Just wanted to put my sister Lisa on the list for just continued blessings, along with my good friends Shane and Vanessa, who are Vanessa's overcoming lung cancer. She's going through chemo right now, and who just added blessings and just a general blessing for all the plant life on this planet. I just want and hope and pray that people have more mercy towards the plant kingdom that sustains us, provides us all our food, all our oxygen, most of our clothing and housing. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like we need more consciousness around taking care of plants, planting plants and blessing plants and loving plants and connecting with plants. And I just recently read an article online about how they've determined scientifically that plants have friends. They make friends with each other. They have feelings. They share all kinds of information amongst themselves. They're really conscious beings, and they're much more genetically complex than us. In fact, the most genetically complex organism ever found on the planet so far is the mulberry tree. It is more genetically, it's the most genetically complex organism on the entire planet. Plants in general are much more genetically complex than animals because they have to adapt to so many different conditions. They're very, very complex genetically. And I think we just need to pay a lot more respect and give them a lot more love and have a lot more mercy towards the plant kingdom. So I just want to add that blessing to the blessings list.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for expressing that. You know, you're probably familiar with the work of Cleve Baxter. The Secret Life of Plants.
Oh yeah, I read that. That's like one of my Bibles. Love that. Love that book. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, he talks about how they're conscious, and he used, like lie detector equipment in order to measure their response to environmental stimuli. And it was just amazing what he discovered from the experiments that he did. So Cleve Baxter's work is just really, really amazing. It completely supports every word you just mentioned. So thank you so much for that beautiful blessing.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. I see Glenda's with us. Hang on. Here we go.
Hello, everyone. And I am so sorry for my late arrival, but it looks like Tony has been conducting our call beautifully. So I think it's probably heaven arranged that sometimes I just don't be here so that someone else can take over. But I have been having a beautiful day and a beautiful life despite some continuing rather enormous problems to deal with. But God keeps blessing me. And that's one of the things that I think I wanted to bring to the blessing call today, and that is that anybody can be happy when life is going just the way it should. You have a good income. You have a good relationship. Your friends love you. You're in good health. And you have time off. You're relaxed. You're at best. Who wouldn't be happy? Who wouldn't know how to handle that? You get to find out who you are when life isn't quite so groovy. That's when you stand out in contrast to what's going on around you. That's when the thing, you can't blame it or credit your life on what's going on around you. You simply are who you are, and you make the most of it. You make the best of it. And if you can't, God makes up the difference. I was listening to a wonderful inspirational speech earlier today from the book of Jeremiah, which I will quote for you if I am fortunate enough to get home before this call is over. I had some car problems, and I was stuck in the Walmart parking lot waiting for AAA to arrive. So, and I didn't even have my call-in number. So I knew that God would send Tony. I knew that Tony would be there. I knew he would do a great job, and that AAA would come and I would be home before time for the blessing. And if not, I'll do the blessing in the Walmart parking lot.
Yeah.
They probably need a very big blessing.
Yeah. That's the truth. It's
so.
I was just going to say it's wonderful to hear your voice. It's you know, you're flowing along with you know what life is bringing you, and that's always something that's very uplifting. You know, when we hear that from you, or you know, anybody who's able to, you know, get centered in the middle of what's going on. And, you know, and like you're saying, you just flow with what's happening.
Well, you know, we really need to learn to do that. Referring back to this quote from Isaiah that I was reading, before I make an exact quote, I'd like to be home with my Bible open in front of me. But the gist of it is this. Even before you were conceived, I knew you. I knew you in the womb before you were born. I knew you before you took your first actions in life. What this really means to me is that God knew us when we were perfect and remembers our perfection and always loves us, no matter what kind of problems life may throw our way. Even if we don't handle those problems the best way, even when we sin, we're loved because the basis of our relationship with God was created before we ever arrived on the planet. Now that, to me, is the ultimate statement of grace. You can count on your relationship to God being formed in grace. And so when I think back, well, how do I get there? It's not so much about centering as it is about finding God. Where in whatever situation I'm in right now, where's God? Where's God? You know, I'm looking around at the problems and the car won't start and the clock is ticking away and I find God in our group. I find God in Tony. And I just say, okay, God, you know what to do. Take over and help me get there as soon as I can.
What are the things that you find most helpful in taking you to that?
Well, in taking me to that, well, I tell you what. Sometimes, Tony, I have to admit, even after my long experience with Yeshua and my many years of working with him, I go into a quiet place to pray, and all of a sudden, I don't know how to pray. I don't know who I am that's worthy to pray. I don't know where God is. I can't find the place from which to pray, to which to pray. And I sit there in quietness, and I let God find me. And I always know when it happens. And then I know that I'm in a state of grace. And my first words are, "Oh, Heavenly Father, please hear my prayer." And I don't have to draw a picture in my mind of what God looks like, because God doesn't look like anything. God is everything. And I don't draw any thoughts in my mind of what I am like when I'm with God, because God is with me no matter, even if I'm a bad girl. And I haven't much been a bad girl in my life, really. But, yeah, you know, we're all human.
Yeah.
We all miss the mark sometimes, but God's always there with me. So I try not to define my life. What I try to define is my understanding of when I'm with God, because that's what moves me into grace. That's what moves me into the place where miracles happen, or at least where a conversation can happen. And when I'm in that place, when I'm in that special place where I'm with God and God is with me, then it doesn't matter what I say, because the union and the connection is the prayer. And just being in that place is praying. And then maybe after a minute or two, something will come to mind. And I'll say, "Oh, yes, please, please, I need some healing for my friend going through whatever particular problem. You know, I need more money to pay the bills." I don't even have to wait for an answer, because I know that he's already arranging something. And it becomes a quiet talk between father and daughter sitting by the fireside. And before it's all over, I will always get on my knees and humble myself in gratitude that I have been made worthy to be in the presence of the Lord of creation, and that the Lord of creation has presented himself to me. Sometimes we think we're not noticed. Sometimes we think we've been forgotten. But you've never been forgotten. You've just moved outside your most, what I would call, connected relationship with the Creator. You've moved to something that's kind of a collateral position. Something where you go off to do something and hope that the best will happen and trust that God will find you there. I know you know what I'm talking about because we've all been there. And I'm not talking about making mistakes. I'm just talking about an average day at work. You know, we go to work and we do our job.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to do what the customer wants or the boss wants or the public wants or what the urgency requires. And we do our best. And then we humble ourselves that even in all of that, God has found us. You know, we think we're little and insignificant sometimes, but in one of the scriptures, I believe it's in Luke. I would have to open my Bible to be for sure, but I read it earlier today. I read so many passages. They're all kind of blending together in one message. And it said, God has numbered every hair on your head. Now that doesn't mean just counted the hairs on your head. Numbered. Numbered means there's 4,500, hair number 4,562. And it just fell to the ground. And it is remembered in the soul of God. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And then there's a brand new one, number 12,657. And it's growing. Wow. Every hair on your head is numbered. Now, why would that be? Why would they be numbered? Ask yourself. Because we have been told that there will be a day when we will be fully and completely recreated. It's like the Maker assigned a number on every part of your body and soul. And think of your uniqueness. There are no fingerprints alike. There are none alike. You are absolutely unique, my friends. So that when you are recreated, every hair that was on your head will come back as your hair, and not the hair of Mary or Philip, but yours. Every act you have committed, good, bad, or just in between doing the process of life, it'll all be recorded. And your life will be restored. And you'll find that nothing was wrong because it was all in the flow of life. It was all part of what needed to happen because the flow of life itself hasn't been perfected yet. Think of that. How could you be expected to be perfectly knowing and perfectly acting when the whole field of life is imperfect? Think of that for a minute. So you were forgiven before you ever did anything. All we need in order to have a better life is to be closer into our relationship with our Creator. To be in that state of grace. He came here. He incarnated in order for each of us to have that closer relationship. Why? Well, because all of our religions believed him to be far away, not of the human realm, very different, somewhere in the stratosphere, somewhere in the unreachable domain. the unknowable. And he came here in order to say, I am knowable. I am like you. I'm knowable. I'm here to be with you and part of you, to be in your life, to be human, and to let you see me so that you can see yourself mirrored in me and be closer to me. And for that very reason, it's very possible that he would show up to each and every person uniquely, just as your fingerprints are unique, just as your voice is unique. There is no other voice like yours. There is no other DNA imprint exactly like yours. You are unique. And so why wouldn't he show up just a little differently for you than he would for me? Well, I think he would. And I encourage you to have that unique relationship and to be with him in your life, in your heart, as close as you can be, being yourself. People go out into the world to find themselves. Well, that's not where you're going to find yourself. You're going to find yourself in your heart. You're not going to find yourself out there in the world. You're going to look deep inside. You're going to let go of all the things that are not you. And then you're going to really, really find yourself. Tony, is there anything you would like to say?
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing those connections. I just kind of felt it was a real opportunity to hear how you do that, how you make those connections, how you center in or find God in the midst of what's going on when you need to make the connection. We do have three people on the line right now for blessing requests or comments. The first one's Nancy, so I'll click you back as well. So we'll
okay.
Be able to unmute you. I've been able to do this before.
You can.
So, yeah.
My name is on the board, so just all you have to do is unmute me.
Yes, okay. So Nancy, I'll click Nancy and then I'll unmute you.
Hello, and it's a wonderful Sabbath in this week of Thanksgiving, and I so appreciate Glenda, all that you and Tony and everyone else does to help and to be the presence on earth for so many other people. So thank you for that. And I do have a request for a blessing.
Okay.
Recently, lots of my friends have fallen and hurt themselves. And it's just become like an epidemic of falls.
Wow.
And it's not because I live in Florida. It's not mm-hmm. because there's bad weather and people are slipping on ice or
yeah.
something
mm-hmm.
like that. But there, just so many have fallen. And there are a couple of people in particular that I would like to bless in prayer today. One of them
okay.
is Ellen. She recently, within the last 6 weeks, had joint replacement. She fell.
Mm-hmm.
She's injured her shoulder.
Ooh.
And, of course, she's set back now. So I would like Ellen to be held in prayer. And the
okay.
other is Beverly, and she fell after a joint replacement, and she is going to have to start over with the whole treatment all over.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I just want to remember, and there's so many others I could mention that have been falling. It's just odd. We look at it and we say, oh, my goodness. I wasn't able to listen and participate in the jam session on Wednesday, so I don't know if anything was mentioned about shifts in energy that maybe are help allowing people to more easily lose their balance. I lose my balance quite a bit, but you know, I made an agreement with my angels. I said, please keep me on my feet. Mm. And they're wonderful at it. And every time I lose my balance and I don't hit the ground, I say, and I haven't hit the ground yet, I say, thank you, God. And all my they've been doing a wonderful job for me. So I'm very grateful for that. But lots of blessings for just because they've fallen and hurt themselves. So that's my request.
Oh, well, of course. And we will remember them. I'm sure Tony could make a comment about the planets, but I want to make a comment first about the jam session. It was recorded, and it will be posted. The only reason it hasn't been yet is that our webmaster has been in the hospital. So we're going to put him on the blessing list, too.
Yeah.
I did not want to add that stress, but Tony, your call's going to be, and we're going to make a special announcement about it as soon as we get it up, hopefully this coming week.
That's great.
You might, but I also have a comment to make about the falling, because although I have not fallen, for about 2 months, no more like 3 months, I have had serious balance problems. Mm. I go to see my, but I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I don't have an inner ear infection. I don't have sinus pressures, you know. There's no reason that I should be losing my balance, and I'm certainly not drinking alcohol. So, and so I go see my doctor, and he says, well, it's a form of vertigo, and I'm going to send you to a specialist that can handle it. Okay, well, I learned from this specialist that in through the canals of the inner ear, there are crystals. If you're interested, if you love crystals, you're going to love what I'm about to say. The fluid in our inner ears, in the canals, is moved along by microscopic-sized crystals, perhaps a million of them. Nobody's ever counted how many. And normally, the crystals are in a stationary condition, slowing down the movement of the fluid that has to move back and forth in our inner and middle ear. So the crystals, if you ever thought you had a box in your head, well, you do. and they're beautiful crystal rocks. And for some reason, the crystals in my head started moving. And the crystals in my head moving is what caused the imbalance. And this started about the last major cosmic event. I think it was last summer. I think it had a profound impact. I talked to the therapist about this, and he said, well, I've never heard about it, but I don't have patients that are specialists in this sort of thing. So who knows, maybe. He said, all I know is that they're not supposed to move. And once we get them restabilized, they won't move again. So we got them all completely restabilized. I had no imbalance problems. And then the very thing that Tony was talking about in the cosmos that happened last week. They started moving again, those rascals. They started moving.
So I think it has something to do with inner transformation or the way we're moving around information. You know, it's interesting that we have, that our high tech relies upon crystals. And we're learning more and more about the conveyance of intelligence through crystals. So it could be that it's a very positive thing that we just haven't learned how to handle yet. Okay, that was my comment. Now, Tony, the floor is all yours.
The one of the things that comes to mind as we're talking about this is the sheer intensity of the energy, because Jupiter and Venus alone, they would be very graceful. It would have a potential for a lot of love and joy. But it's aligned with the galactic center. And so, you know, when you look around the whole world and you see not only what Nancy's reporting, but you hear about people having these massive social experiences and upheaval and a great amount of people standing up and raising their voices and attention to important issues. And it seems to be a crescendo, all these things happening together. One of the things that's also happening is Uranus is trining. So that's fortunate, but if that intensifies the energy, and it's all aligned with the galactic center. And so it's like the heart of existence is also with us, the resonance of our hearts and the heart of existence. So it really feels like the sheer intensity of the whole thing is very strong. Mm-hmm. And that's unsettling. You know, that's something that adds a great amount of just sheer intensity. So,
it does. And that's intense enough, because I asked my therapist what could cause the crystals to move. And he said some intense energy, like an electrical shock or a trauma to the head.
Okay.
Or some situation of massive stress.
Okay.
That could move, that could start the moving. But I would say that a positive version of the same definition could also have the same impact.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, and specifically, Glenda, you just mentioned the electrical shock. The effect of Uranus is like a lightning bolt, energetically. And I've been having an experience of lightning bolts this last 2 days. It's like all night on Friday night. I couldn't sleep. It's like every 2 minutes. And I've had this experience before, and it always resonates for me with something that's going on connecting with Uranus. And Uranus and Venus especially. But it, when you add Jupiter in, it's going to make it more intense. But Uranus and Venus, what they do is they ignite the life force. It's activational, and it's beautiful, because it's like the spark of life. Just like when God creates anything and puts the very essence, the spark, right into whatever the flow is, whatever the creation is. You can imagine, you know. But there's this intensity to it. And I literally could not sleep on Friday night, because every few minutes I had this thing. And last night it got even more intense. And then I was sitting with it and meditating with it. It literally felt like a little shock. And it was creating cramps in my muscles and so forth. So I'm sure my complaint, which isn't really a complaint, it's an observation, but my experience of it is probably minor compared to some of the things that people are experiencing. But it's completely connected and resonant with what you were just saying. So, you know, we're observing it in a lot of different forms, the energy.
We are. So, you know, we are in it. Let's just put it this way. We're in it. And because we're each unique, we're going to process it differently. But we do have similarities to our bodies, because we're all of the same species. But our animals will experience it in very unique ways, and the plants and nature will experience it in its unique way, and everyone around us will experience it in their unique way, personally and socially. So let's take advantage of this powerful energy and use it to create the highest and the best for this
season of loving and giving, and for this season of blessing and prayer and assistance to one another. Let's just dance with it.
It's beautiful. We also have two more people on the line. Can I pick the next one?
Okay, sure.
Tara Kim, and I think, Glenda, you'll stay on the line this time.
Yeah, I think I will.
You do.
Yes, I hear everybody yet.
Hi, Tara Kim.
Hi, how is everybody today?
Very good. Hope you're well.
Yeah, thank you. With this powerful alignment coming up, I felt the need to request a blessing for my immediate family because everybody's kind of in a different place with it right now. Like my husband Bert, my mom and dad, Barbara and Carl, and even our two dogs, Dakota and Shobi. Everybody's kind of in a different place with different stuff going on, so I just thought I'd request that.
Yeah, very good.
Good. And it's good you remembered your little furry family members.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Because they are just as much family as we are. And sometimes they're more devoted to the family than we are.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
Thank you, Tarkin.
Okay. I have everyone on my list.
We've got one more person on the line right now. It's June.
Oh, hi, June.
Hi, Glenda and Tony and everybody. I was just, I was looking at an article in this publication, Mysterious Ways, and there was a picture of Jesus painted by a young girl, 8 years old. You probably heard about that.
That's a very famous picture.
Turmeric.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The Prince of Peace. And it looks remarkably like your picture, you know, of Jesus. I mean, a little bit darker, you know. Black background. But there's something similar, profoundly similar about the face. And I thought that was, I mean, given that whatever we're receiving is going to come through the person who's receiving it.
Well, you know, in all the pictures I've seen of him, the core presence is the same. The outer portrayal, the outer expressions conform to the purpose. Sometimes he was painted, let's say, by the church to teach a lesson or to demonstrate. There's a very famous one of him holding open his robe to show the radiance of the Sacred Heart. And so it has a specific purpose. And, of course, there are many of him on the cross. And then there are many of him holding children to illustrate his calling of the children. There are many of him multiplying the fishes for that purpose. So there's many of them in context, shall we say. And the context seems to be the overriding expression that we get from those paintings. But if you really, really check the face and the person, it's the same one. And that's the way I feel he shows up to everybody. Maybe a little different, just so as not to seem so different. Because the whole idea of coming to us is to make us feel similar.
Well, it's just, you know, it's a transcendent picture. And then there was a little boy who was 4 and he, you know, had an experience of heaven while he was, you know, being operated on. And his dad was a, you know, part-time preacher and, or I guess you'd say with a working preacher, he had to work for a living because the church didn't have that much money. And the little boy described Jesus, and the father kept showing him pictures. I mean, only this 8-year-old girl's picture. I don't know that he knew of your picture. You know, this 8-year-old girl's picture was the one that was closest to him of Jesus who sat with him. He sat on Jesus' lap.
Oh, that's sweet. A lot of people who've had near-death experiences have called and confirmed that's exactly the way he looked when I was there. So, you know, I know that I painted an authentic portrayal of him, but it might not be the only way he would ever show himself to someone else.
Yes. You think that would be to not to come in a form that would be understandable to the person, you know, and not frightening?
Exactly.
Or,
exactly. Yeah. Comforting. Like, I'm here with you. I'm you and you are me. Because he said for us to love another as ourself, right?
Yeah.
So why would he not come to us as ourself, looking as close as possible? So he didn't come to me the way I thought he would. I can tell you that. This was not a projection that came from my mind. I was shocked. He didn't mind shocking me.
Well, maybe you could handle it, you know, even if it was intense.
I guess so. I guess so. Bless his heart.
I guess it was also not just the image, but the feeling you probably had was good, in spite of it being shocking. You probably had a feeling of, you know, deep trust or something like that, where you didn't, you know, where that overrode the feeling of shock.
No. Oh, yeah. Well, the whole event was shocking.
I can't even imagine. I mean, I would question my sanity and everything.
June, did you have a particular blessing you wanted to ask?
I just wondered, for me, yes, I do have a particular blessing. I still, pray enough for a young relative who's got an opioid addiction and, is in and out of rehab and not stable. So, you know, for him and those that are closest to him that are trying to help him. And his name is Devin, and for all your blessing givers and receivers to hold them in their heart would be great.
Okay.
I would just say for me, one of my images of God has been in the form of an elephant. It sounds really weird. You know, but, you know, just over and over again, there's been, you know, synchronicities, and I know in India the head of the Hindu god Ganesh is an elephant head, but that wasn't my experience. It was, I think it was some way that God decided to, that, well, it connected with a childhood love of the Little Prince story and whatnot, and, you know, just very surprising experience, you know, but over and over again in some form, you know, in a beautiful way. And I read a book about elephants called The Elephant Company, about elephants in India who were saviors for people during World War II in Burma. And when you read the character, the strength, the deep, you know, authenticity of elephants in that story, you know, the elephant-human relationship, it is profound. It made me realize that when we were getting a blessing for plants, I would like a blessing for, you know, all these incredible animals, you know, that are part
of our lives. Thank you so
Not
much.
Not just as pets, but also, yes, as pets, but also elephants. You know, elephants and other, you know, whales and seals and birds and, you know, all the natural world that so supports us that we forget about.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think they have in them a song of praise underneath all the time. And that's obscured for us people somehow, and sometimes we connect to it through them.
Yes, we do. Well, thank you, Jan. And we wish you a blessed Sunday. And we've got you and all of your family of loved ones down on our notes. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Glenda, we're approaching the top of the hour. I know we'll want to do the blessing here.
So we really need to. We have one more?
Yeah.
Okay. If we can make it, just ask for the blessing. Okay?
Okay. Here we go.
Hi, this is Tina. Hi.
Hi, Tina.
Hello, Tina.
Oh, I'm sorry I'm so late and I ask a question, so I make it very quick then. I just wanted to ask a blessing for the homeless. There's just so many homeless all around and it's getting so cold.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Yeah, I wanted also, but I can come on next time maybe. Okay then. This is
okay.
It for the that I'm asking.
Blessing. See you, Tina.
Thank you, Tina.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Well, everyone, just be in your most comfortable position, in your chair, except for the blessing givers who will stand with me. Have your shoes off and your socks off if it's not too cold. Be as close as you can to the foundation energy of the earth. Let us resonate with the earth through our feet. Let us open full measure the top of our head, the crown of our head, that what comes through us is divine energy of the heavens. Let it flow through us as if we are a pipeline from heaven to earth. And you, blessing givers, will be blessed by that. And as we do this, we become a connecting rod that the energy may travel more directly in more perfected energy form to everyone who needs to receive the blessing. We ask for blessings for everyone on our list and for all those who need blessings, but we're not here to ask. Dear Yeshua, we first of all express our love for you and our gratitude that you are here now for us, that you came to be with us and you said, I will never leave you. You're not always in a form we can see because you rely on our faith to find you within ourselves. You give us into the world that we may do our work and face our challenges, and come home to the heart of who we are. We ask today that you help everyone find their way home to the heart of who they are, that in that home they may be in the grace of God, and in the grace of God their needs be met. We ask that you be with the homeless and give them a home in your heart. We ask that you be with the hungry and give them nourishment that will not make them hungry again. That you be with the lonely and let them know they always have a friend. That you be with those who feel they have failed and know that they have served the purposes of life and will be rewarded for their life in the kingdom of heaven. We ask that you be with each person and each form of life requested by those who came on the call, and that they may be blessed for asking. Because when we love one another as ourselves, we know that we bless them and are blessed in return. All these things we ask in your name and your glorious presence among us. Amen. Let us begin. And everyone begin their prayer except the blessing givers. Let us begin the blessing.
Your blessing is done. It has been given. Now you finish it by receiving. So go and lie down. Eyes closed. You can breathe. Work on your breathing if you like, but don't work on your thinking. And don't continue your prayer, because words will bring in the mind. So just be there, at rest, at peace, in a state of delightful, peaceful receiving. God be with you. God will be with you. And I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.